box, office, refund, box office refund podcast.
Hello and welcome to Box Office Refund Podcast. I'm Nico Bell.
And I'm Ward.
And we review low-rated movies.
And decide if the critics were wrong.
Ward, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I am very good. I'm so excited because this might be the best movie we have ever watched on this podcast. I have so many exciting things to say about it. When I told you that we were going to watch The Meg, were you just finally relieved to watch perhaps the best worst movie ever?
I mean, easily the best movie we've done, and it's not the best worst movie. It's a legitimately good movie, and I will argue that all day and night long into the next day. It's a good movie.
I'll take that. I liked it a lot. I was so excited. First of all, let me just back up and say that I have finally joined the HBO Club. I have a subscription. I don't know how long I'm going to keep it, but we can now watch all sorts of awesome movies and review them. I was so excited that The Meg was on there. And also, I introduced this movie to my 11-year-old son. I think it's his first PG-13 movie he's ever seen, and he had some comments. So I'm very excited about that as well.
I have to ask, did you get HBO for Game of Thrones?
No, I've never watched Game of Thrones. We actually got it for Barry.
Wow.
So we'll talk about that.
You like Barry that much?
No, my husband likes Barry that much.
That's intriguing.
I got it. I was excited because we get to watch Veep, which I do enjoy greatly.
You know, I've never watched Veep. Barry, I feel like I'm just missing what everybody else is seeing.
Well, I do enjoy it. We will talk about that on our B episode. Today, we are certainly talking about The Meg, which I saw in theaters. Did you see it?
Oh, yeah. I had a blast in the theater. I loved it in theater. I loved it this time. I watched it again for this podcast. Yeah, I'm going to do my due diligence.
I laughed out loud in the theater at certain parts because it was just amazing. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know who hasn't seen this movie or heard about it, but it's basically Jaws on steroids and a ginormous megalodon shark who gets out and starts wreaking havoc. That's basically all it is. It's just a fun creature film. I guess you can call it a creature film.
Yeah, it is a ton of fun. That is what makes this movie stand out. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's a little pulpy. It's a little tropey. I have to imagine they know that. They embrace it. And it's a fun movie. When I go to a movie, yeah, there's some movies that are artistic, that are like film class type movies, which would be Jaws. Great movie, yeah. Well made. Then there are other movies that just promise to entertain me for 2 hours. And this does that. And you know what? The writing, it's pretty good. They develop these characters. All the characters have a little bit of a personality. It's a good movie.
I love it. It has Jason Statham, Rainn Wilson, Ruby Rose. It has a lot of really fun people. And I mean, Rainn Wilson, I just absolutely love. I loved his role in this movie. I was so excited to see him. I don't know if I love, like, I think I acknowledge that it isn't the best movie. Like, you're giving it a lot of praise, and I think we just need to, like, reel it in just a little bit, because there were times when it was, like, a little long for me, or the dialogue was a bit cheesy for me, which I know that's on purpose, but I think you're just, like, guns blazing, super excited about
this. It's a good
movie. I think you've watched way too many bad movies is what it is, and your standards are just a little askew. It's great. It's a great movie, but let's just curb it.
No, I can't. I mean, there's average. We watch a lot of below average to bad movies. We've never watched an average movie. This is the first above average movie. Now, okay, and is it like a good to great? You know, like, I kind of group things and kind of don't skip it. It depends, and watch it. So this is in the watch it category. But there are a couple of tiers above this that, you know, are truly great films. This is not truly great piece of cinema, but it's a good movie. And should you watch it? Of course you should. It's a good movie. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get into it because it starts.
I have to say,
off
I'm just going to interject.
Good tension.
This is the only movie we've reviewed that would say, "Yeah, you should probably watch it."
Yeah, I would probably agree with that as well. Okay, it starts with a rescue sequence.
Well, you're just like a little,
basically
like,
a prologue.
Plot, give us a little plot sentence just to prime people. You're going to jump right in? Come on.
I said that a megalodon escapes into the wild and wreaks havoc.
All right, I'm going to give,
give
the plot this time. I'll handle this. I got this.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
5 years after escaping an attack by what he claims is a giant underwater beast, rescue diver Jonas Taylor must confront his fears to save scientists trapped in a sunken submersible. You're welcome.
That's not even Wait, that's not even like the plot. That's like the first. It's the primer.
You don't want to give it all away. You're trying to hook people. It's a wonderful hook.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. It's Jonas. J-O-N-A-S, not Jonah. Jonas.
Jonas with an S. That's correct.
Okay. First of all, I should just say right now, I have no idea what that Asian chick's name is in the movie. His love interest or whatever. What's her name?
Su-Yin.
Uyen. Okay.
Gosh, they only say it every 5 minutes. How'd you miss that?
I don't know Rain Wilson's character's name. I only know his name barely. Barely know his name. I don't pay attention. All right. Which is great when you do a podcast about movies. It starts with a rescue sequence. Jonas is this, I don't even, he's a diver. That's what he does. He goes rescue down diver. To the ocean and he saves people. Okay.
And he's the best. And he's the only rescue diver that can go deep sea, more than 10,000 feet deep. Everybody else would die instantly. Not Jason Statham or his character for that matter.
Or his character. Do you think him as a person can do yes. this? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Okay. Any All unimaginable right. feat, if you ask me, can Jason Statham do this, I would argue that he probably could.
Okay.
I'm a big Jason Statham fan. That's part of the reason I love this movie.
Oh, boy. All right. So
he's a very nice-looking man.
He has to rescue his friends down there. They're in some sort of submarine or whatever, and he has to rescue his friends. The main idea is that, one, there is something down there, something big and lurking and menacing down there. We don't know what it is, some sort of creature. And two, he has to make a life or death decision. If he can get out half of the people, close his little hatch, and disengage from the submarine, he'll save those people in his little, what is that, rescue vehicle.
Rescue submersible.
Or he can go back into the submarine and rescue the people that are trapped there.
And kill everybody in the process.
All right, so either that or he has to go into the submarine and rescue his friends. Now, this lurking creature is banging the side of the submarine and denting it. So we know something is looming. He makes the call to disengage from the submarine and save the people, save half of his friends, okay? Life or death.
Well, not even half. I mean, it's a question of three people still on board. And I don't know. It's more than that on his rescue.
It was 11.
Yeah. He saved 11 people.
Yeah, but what would you really have done in that situation? The one of the people he saves is a doctor, and I consider him to be like the ass of the movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because first of all, he says that Jonas imagined this great creature that was literally bending the ship and bumping into the ship. And then he blames him for the death of these other three people. So, I mean, I feel so bad for poor Jonas.
Well, I mean, this whole doctor's like, well, you know, you killed them. You could have saved them. Did the doctor not see the part where 2 seconds after Jonas disengages, the submarine blows up and it would have killed everybody? I don't get how the doctor says, I'm not sure that would have happened. Science is out on that. I don't get how he can ignore that huge piece of evidence that completely bolsters Jason Statman's heroic efforts.
Statman.
And the cool thing, is, you know, I think in other movies, if a character were to, in essence, let three people die, be like, oh man, that guy's not cool. But like Jason Statham does it, it's like, well, if Jason Statham did it, obviously he had a good reason for it. And I just don't get why this doctor is blinded to how charismatic and amazing Jason Statham is. I mean, sure,
okay,
he was the best in
really
Crank, but he's
on
good
pick
here.
With your bromance.
I mean, really, okay. how many people would you let get away with killing people? Not many.
I'm sorry, are we again talking about the character or the
both,
human being here?
Both. They're interchangeable.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, I have to imagine Jason Statham is just as brave and courageous as Jonas Taylor. I'm sure they're both equal swimmers. I bet Jason Statham probably is a licensed, you know, diver rescue person.
Deep sea rescue.
I'd be willing to bet
that. Is that what you're saying?
I'd bet my reputation on it.
Oh boy.
But you know, I have to say the doctor is like this. I just kept calling him an Alan Grant wannabe. You know, he's kind of a scientist, but kind of not. And he is. He's a complete jerk. That's his purpose. But I do like that he has kind of an arc. You know, like they give him a way out to not be a huge jerk. They give him a little redemption arc at the end.
Sure.
But I still cannot get over how the doctor sees the sub explode and is like, you know, we should have stayed there. How? How does he figure?
Yeah, and then he says that the evidence that there was a creature down there got exploded with Yeah, you're right. I didn't really think about that. Yeah, I don't know what caused it to explode anyways. Yeah, okay. Well, that won't be the first plot issue in this movie.
I just assume the doctor's a moron, that he is the one suffering from deep sea psychosis.
Probably so. So that's Jonas, our wounded hero. 5 years later, we're now in China, and there is a what's called the Mana 1 Research Station, which is basically what looks like a giant oil rig in the middle of the ocean, but it's this really cool underwater research facility that are looking into the deepest part of the ocean where they believe underneath a heat blanket, I guess you could say.
Well, let's give this enough. The Marianas Trench is the deepest part of the ocean that man is aware of. So this movie posits, and I love this concept, what if the deepest point of the ocean was not really the deepest part of the ocean? There's a whole secret world in that trench under a magic cloud. I love it. It's awesome.
A magic warm cloud is keeping it all underneath. I have thoughts about this underwater world, but let's go in sequence because we see our scientist, we see the potential love interest, and we see Rainn Wilson, who plays a billionaire who is funding this whole project.
How do you know he's a billionaire? The movie gives us two clues. He flies a helicopter and he wears Air Jordans. He must be rich.
He's wearing a t-shirt and a blazer. That's how we know he's a billionaire. And he's also a jerk, because every billionaire...
Well, he's not. I mean, at first, though, he's not really a jerk. He's just, like, they play him slightly weird. And one thing that he completely ignores the doctor's personal space, which you think, oh, he's just this awkward, rich American. But it's important to note, because later, I feel like that's kind of a clue of what would happen later, that the movie just kind of throws it in there. Because at first, he just seems like an awkward dork to a degree.
Thought he came off arrogant for sure. Like, he tries to speak Chinese and he says something, I don't know, something stupid. Like, and he's clearly very excited about this discovery only for the money purposes.
Well, yeah, but see, like, at this point, though, we don't realize how greedy. I mean, I guess we should know he's a billionaire. Well, he's greedy. Yeah. But, you know, the speaking Chinese thing, I just think, oh, yeah, rich billionaires. That's just how they are.
So the woman scientist who is going to be the love interest has a daughter. And here is perhaps why I don't love this maybe as much as you. My one contention is that I think this is the worst parenting ever, is to take a little girl who's probably 7 years old onto this rig in the middle of the ocean where she is completely unsupervised all the time and where there's dangers around every single corner. Like, this is just a terrible idea. This poor little girl is traumatized. Like, surely she's going to need a lifetime worth of therapy by the time this is all done. Like, this is not at all a situation where you bring a 7-year-old. No,
there's some mitigating factors here. The chief one being, this girl is 8 going on 30, let's say 45. She's easily the wisest character in the movie. If they just say, like, hey, how do you think we should solve this? She probably could have solved this in 10 minutes. So I think that's a big part of it.
Okay. And, of course, we find out that, like, her dad is with a Pilates instructor someplace else. But even that situation, putting her with her father would have been so much better. I still don't
this
like
is an educational
this.
Moment that few children would ever get. And really, this is Jurassic Park in water, basically. And there were kids in Jurassic Park, so why wouldn't you have kids in the coolest underwater thing ever?
You know why? Because Jurassic Park is a park for children. This underwater research facility is not for children.
We don't know that. It's not finished. It may change during construction. We don't know.
Oh, okay. So you think that in your world...
they may have been putting in a daycare. They may have been putting in a children's area. We don't know. They were unfinished.
Okay. All right. Well, we get to see their crew. We see Ruby Rose.
Well, but before we get there, this is a super duper lab. I mean, like, you get there, it looks like you said... an oil rig. It looks like, you know, an oil rig. It looks kind of crappy. And even Rainn Wilson says, wow, this place stinks. All my money went here. Then we go in the elevator and we get into the actual lab part. And it is state of the art. It looks awesome.
It does. It looks like a really fun place to hang out, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. People come here, go there all the time to hang out. That is why they built it. It's a cool teen hangout spot.
Yes. They'll have a coffee shop there soon enough. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. It's in the plans.
I like that they had Ruby Rose, and she was the person who engineered all of it, and they have a few other characters that we'll get to see and know. But
they do give each of those characters, like, a little bit of personality. Like, you know, they get kind of a quick introduction, but, like, you kind of get a sense of their personality. And a lot of movies like this that are kind of pulpy and easy, they don't even try to do that with the characters. So in this, the writing is not bad. Most movies don't, even the movies that are good, don't always kind of get characters that well that quick.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you that. I appreciate that it moved quickly. Like, we get Rainn Wilson on the rig, we get to see it, we get introductions, and then instantly they are diving down to the bottom to go underneath this hydrogen sulfide layer in the water to see this new world. Yeah. Like, I appreciate that we moved very fast into the catalyst and what was it. And, of course, the diver of the vehicle is Jason's ex-wife, which we find out. And, okay. So, can I talk about when they dive in? Do you have anything to say?
No, no, I'm right at that point, too.
Okay, perfect. So, they go underneath into the new world.
Okay, I mean, that is a big moment, too, because, like, oh, we're getting closer. We're in close. Oh, we made it. We're through. Look at this amazing place.
Yeah. It's like instant. It's like 3 seconds. That's all it took for them to do. But a few quick things about it. The underworld is supposed to be this whole like biosystem that no one's ever seen before, where they are expected to see creatures that have never been seen before. And I saw an anglerfish, a jellyfish, a squid, and sharks.
Boy, they were giant squids and giant sharks. I don't think you've ever seen squids and sharks that big.
They couldn't come up with any new creatures. They were so excited to get underneath. And my first thing I see is a freaking anglerfish. I was like, we couldn't come up with anything in our imaginations and our new and exciting world down there to do.
Yeah, but of the people that watch this movie, what percentage know what an anglerfish is? Because I didn't see an anglerfish. I don't even know what an anglerfish looks like.
Okay, well, that there were jellyfish or some sort of squiddy.
Yeah, but they were probably
thing,
like
I would say.
Cousins to jellyfish. They're slightly different. Who knows? I mean, that was the least of my concern going into the magic underworld.
Well, I noticed it right away, and I was very disappointed because they played it up that we were getting into a new world, and all I saw was the same old thing. I don't even know if anglerfish can be that far down in the ocean and survive. They're the fish with the little light on the, like a fish hook.
See, these probably aren't even
like
anglerfish. These just look like anglerfish. The anglerfish descended from this fish, probably.
Okay.
Because as you just said, anglerfish can't survive that far down, so it's got to be a different species.
Oh, yeah, you really had a gotcha moment
yeah.
there. Okay, my other big issue was they drop a rover down there to do the exploring. Why send people at all down there? They don't know how deep it's going to be. They don't know the dangers. Why not get to the bottom and then drop the rover to go down through the hydrogen sulfide so that the rover can do all the dangerous exploring? Why send them at all?
Lord. I mean, yeah, the scientific achievement is not as great when you send a robot to do your dirty work. You got to do it yourself. You got to get hands-on with this thing.
But they dropped the rover to do it. Like, they're not doing it. They went down to drop a rover.
Look,
like that was their
mission. These scientists came to party, and you're going to try and take that party away from them. And that's just not cool. They want to see firsthand. Like, the rover, I mean, all right, I'll admit you make a good point. Maybe they should send the rover first. But, on the other hand, you're just kind of ruining the movie for me. I mean, we need these people attacked by a giant shark.
Okay, I'm sorry. We will talk about how we do see a big creature. Like, we start to get a bit of a horror feel that something is lurking, you know, something is on their radar. Their radar. Do you think radars in movies are accurate to what radars are like in real life, where it's just like a target board on a screen and then a red dot just beeps and gets closer and closer to the center of the target? Is that really what radars look like?
I mean, red beeping dot, maybe not. A grid, you know, with little points, I'm sure it's like that. I mean, I have to get that information from somewhere. But I would imagine, my dad is like, ooh, look at that red highlighted thing. Red is bad and evil. It's probably not that pointed, but it's probably similar to that. Maybe everything's all blue and just points.
Okay. Well, the red dot is getting closer and closer to them. And do they see the shark?
No. We don't see anything at this point. It's all like, oh, something's bumping our rover. Because at some point they say, oh, maybe it's, I can't remember what they say, but they say, oh, maybe it's this. And somebody says, well, that can't turn at a right angle now, can it?
Yeah, they turn at a 90 degree
But what did
angle,
they say that was?
Worried. I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
But, basically what happens is they get attacked, and they're now deserted down there. They are stuck, their power is off, they're going to get really cold, and they're going to die down there. And the last communication is the ex-wife saying Jonas was right. So something's down there, Jonas
was right.
Bombshell.
Jonas was right.
It's very exciting. Okay, so that's what's going on our rig. Do you have anything to say about that?
No,
before we
I
want to
go to the next scene because I love the next scene. Oh, no, I want to go to Thailand. I want to go to the scene between this and Thailand.
What's between this?
It's
and
when they're in the conference room. They're deciding, what do we do? They're trapped down there. Oh, that scene is like, it's so pulpy, and I love every bit of it because they're saying, well, what do we do? How do we do it? No one's ever done a rescue like this except for one man. No, not him. He's too crazy, but he's the only one that can do it. Jonas Taylor. No, not him. The doctor hates him. He's crazy. He's a psycho. The sub blew up.
Wow.
I just love it. You know, it's awesome. I think the doctor brings up the fact that, oh man, you know, he killed those three people. But again, the sub blew up 3 seconds later. If Jonas had done what the doctor wanted, they'd all be dead. I just think, like, man, this doctor's a moron.
Well, he is very much more. But also, the female scientist, his love interest.
Su Yin.
She, what's her name again?
Su Yin.
Okay. She also is kind of against him coming on board. And I don't know what her big problem is, unless she fully believes the doctor's account. But she sees video of the interview with Jonas when he comes back. And I feel like she should be on Jonas's side, not the doctor's side. But she's very anti-Jonas from the start. That was a weird hostility thing that I didn't quite get.
I get it. I'd love to explain that. You got this little romance thing going on, and romances work best when the people hate each other to begin with. Then it makes the turn great. Then, and this is going to move way too much credit, but we're going to go there. I think she is a doctor. She's a person of science. So she trusts the doctor. Because, as we know, she regards Jonas as Pauly Shore would say, a crazy boy. Because the daughter says, wow, you're crazy. Bring it back to the best episodes. So I think it's a little combination of both of those.
I will say that this scene delighted me in that they have people dying on the bottom of the ocean, and they had to move from the hub of their science center to the conference center.
Where else would you do that conversation?
To debate how to save them.
They need enough space for everybody to have a seat. Come on.
They must have wasted like just 10 minutes riding the elevators up and down to get to the conference room to talk about it. I was like, this is life and death. But they're like, guys, we all need swivel chairs. Everybody get around.
Do you think of an elevator? Someone's like, hey, so what do you think? I was like, no, don't start yet. Wait until we sit down in the conference room. Yeah, but like, don't you think we could prepare? No. We're not. No, nobody's seated. We need everybody seated. We need to be ready. We need somebody taking notes. We need to do this right.
Yes.
We have an SOP. We're going to follow it to the letter.
I did appreciate that quite a bit. All right. Thailand. Now, we get to see what Jonas has been up to. And he has been chilling in
Thailand.
He has
been living life.
Drunk. You like this part?
It's dumb and funny and fun.
They land, okay, the researchers go and get him, and they land their helicopter at what appears to be the end of a very crowded street. I was like, I appreciated that. I thought that was entertaining as well.
I mean, I think their thought was, well, it's Thailand. Obviously, they don't care. Why should we? But I did a deep dive on this, because I don't know. I know that at Mana 1, they said, oh, we only have X number of hours. And I don't remember what those number of hours were, but I want to say it was either 12 or 18. So I did some math with Google Maps, and it would take 9 hours to fly top speed of a helicopter, China to Thailand, 9 hours back. So technically, I think they died.
Well, listen, they weren't technically in China. They were in international waters off of the Chinese coast. So maybe they had an hour to spare.
I mean, it still puts that time rather tight.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right. Oh, yeah. Maybe they have just enough. And that was why Jonas is in such a rush.
Well, not at first. At first, he's like, let's just have some beers. Let's chit-chat. Let's catch up. Then you guys can be on your way. He basically says, there's literally no way you are getting me to do a deep dive ever again. And then they play him the tape of his ex-wife, Lori, at the bottom of the ocean. And then instantly,
okay, let's go. I'm ready. Sign me up.
He's like, hold my beer. Let me get my bag.
I'm going to want that beer back later, though.
Yes, exactly. All right. Now we have Jonas on board. And that's very exciting because now the fun's going to really get started.
But I did wonder, you know, when he's like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. I thought, wouldn't he be out of practice? I mean, for the last 5 years, it would appear he's never been without a beer in his hand. I mean, A, he's obviously drunk during this rescue, which makes it more spectacular in one way. But second, he'd have to be out of practice. I'd assume that being a deep sea rescue diver, there's some pretty strict things. You know, you've got to I don't know, been in the water in the last 5 years.
Yeah, you're right. He's definitely drunk, and his regulations, I'm sure, have expired. But like you said, they have 18 hours. I think you're right. 18 hours to save them. They don't have time for regulations. What are you talking about?
I think also,
they gotta get him in the water.
With Jason Statham, you know, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, your name is Jason Statham? Go right ahead, sir. Please proceed. Yeah, he gets special privilege wherever he goes.
Oh, boy. Yes. So he's going to go save the day, which is exciting. Anything before we get off that scene?
No, let's jump into the seafloor.
All right. The actors down there. So we have Lori, who is the ex-wife. We also have, and let me get these names right. Let's see.
The Wall and Toshi.
Toshi, yes.
And Toshi is an unsung hero. He is in this movie for a very short time, but that dude is awesome, and he rocks it. You know, everybody rocks their part pretty hard.
Well, the thing we see about Toshi is that he's down there writing a letter to his wife. And my first thought was the scene, and I believe it was Event Horizon or one of those movies where they have to go to the center of the universe and there's like a reporter down there and he's talking into his recorder like all by himself knowing that he's going to blow up in 5 minutes. And he's like, why am I talking? No one's going to read this. And that's what I thought of when Toshi was down there. I was like, he's writing to his wife. Nobody's going to see this. They're all going to die down there. Why is he doing that? But we get to know why he's doing that, because he gets to save the day and that letter gets to go back up to the surface. And I thought that was very sweet.
Well, I assumed that not so much that no one would ever see it, but they're running out of air, I believe, at this point, so their auxiliary systems are off. So I thought he was writing that letter just so when another rescue team went down to save the submersible, which is probably millions of dollars, they would get the letter then.
I would think that those people who went down would have known that if something went wrong, no one was coming to get them. Like, they should have really known that this was a suicide mission, you know?
Come on, state-of-the-art equipment? Like, how could anything possibly go wrong in the deepest part of the ocean in a magic underworld under a magic cloud? What could go wrong?
This is why you send the rover and not the humans.
But could a rover have sacrificed himself to save everybody else? I don't think so.
I don't feel like he would have been put in that situation. So.
But we'll never know.
We'll never know. All right. Well, they get the power back on, and we find out that the creature, we don't know what it is yet, I suppose, the creature is attracted to the light.
Wait. So the creature... Let's just pause here. Who'd have thought that in this magic world where there's no light, the creatures don't like light? Stunning. Stunning revelation of events.
That is very true. So obviously the creature is pounding away at this poor little shuttle that they are a part of. And it causes it to go topsy-turvy. And Lori gets a screwdriver wedged into her stomach. So now she is in like dire situation. They, you know, are freezing down there. They are hoping that somebody hears them. I think they actually get some sort of contact out into back to the hub. I don't know, but I know that Suyin, she volunteers to go down there, and she's
going
to
just volunteer. She tells them, "This is how it is. Shut up or put up." And they're like, "I'm sorry, Suyin. Yeah. Please proceed. That we're sorry we ever looked directly at you." I do want to go back though. Yes. The screwdriver incident. One thing I like about this movie is so often in movies, a character gets stabbed in the stomach and they immediately pull out the object and blood spurts everywhere. Yes. I appreciate in this movie they're like, we're just going to leave that in right there. Let's not mess with that.
Yeah. Well, that's what you're
supposed to
do. I know,
but movies never do that. They always like yank it out and just blood splatters everywhere.
Yes, I do appreciate that they actually, because they are scientists, obviously they should know what to do, and they actually did it. So that was actually very cool.
Hey, I don't think the rover could have taken care of that situation, huh?
Oh my gosh. You and this rover. All right, so yeah, Suyin, I like that she's kind of a badass. I like that she's super brave in this movie. I mean, if Jason has a rival in this movie for bravery, it is her.
No doubt.
She is doing it all. No problem.
There's some point here, like right when they're on the seafloor, before Jason gets there, we see the video of Dr. Heller's, I don't know, diagnosis of Jason Statham. And I'm not a doctor, believe it or not.
Really?
But I don't think a doctor should bait a patient by calling them a coward when they're trying to diagnose them. I don't know. I mean, probably just goes to Heller's a villain. Let's, like, really lay it on. But I just feel like that would kind of render his diagnosis a bit moot when he's baiting the patient.
I don't know what type of doctors you see. Mine are very blunt and honest.
Do they bait you? Do they try to start a fight by calling you names?
Yeah, that was an interesting little clip there. But that just goes, you know, that there's a lot of tension between the two of them. So that's fine.
Do you think it's sexual tension that the doctor just can't handle Jason Statham?
Nobody
that makes
can,
a lot
right?
of sense. I mean, really, you know, you're working in close quarters with Jason Statham. I mean, Jason Statham is Jason Statham. I think anybody would probably have some of those similar feelings. And the doctor, he's an older man. He's probably confused by these new feelings of arousal.
Really?
I think, you know, there's a whole sub arc there, and it explains a lot.
Moving on. So she goes down and puts herself into danger with the intention of towing them back up to the surface.
It seems like a bad plan.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine. But Jonas arrives while she is already launched and on her way down. And he does not skip a beat. He's like, get me in there, let's go. And he has a very touching moment with the little girl in this movie. Because he goes into the craft that he's going to go down in, which has been named, I believe, Mr. Bubbles, that the little girl has drawn on chalk or something on the top of it. And she's down there, and you are right, she's like a genius. She knows how to, like, totally start this thing up and where the buttons are. And they have just a nice little chit-chat where she's like, promise me you'll bring my mom home. And of course he does, because he's Jason, and that's what he does. Good old JS. When he makes a promise, he keeps a promise, okay? We can all count on him to deliver.
I know what's not to like about Jason Statham. I mean, he's a hero, he's drunk, can steal from his job, and he's even good with kids. The man does it all.
Oh my God.
I do like when Jonas gets on the base, and Mag's like, oh yeah, Heller's here, I didn't tell you. The face Jonas makes, like, The door's closed. That face is awesome. And I do appreciate that he even threatens Heller. I mean, you know, like, go the distance. Like, this guy's a piece of garbage. Get him off my station. Statham's a cowboy. It's awesome.
Yes. It's all great. And he gets in, and he has sort of a moment of what I would conceive as panic when he is about to be launched down into it, and he kind of stops and thinks about it, and he's looking down. It's a really cool shot of his tennis shoes and the water underneath through the glass of the ship that he's in, and he's kind of like thinking about it. And then that's the only time he hesitates in the entire movie. He launches to go down and save the day.
Was it the fact that he was scared, or was it, well, I haven't done this in 5 years. How do you do one of these rescues again? Let me think about this for a minute. Wait, where's the start button to this submersible? I can't ask people. Then they'll think I don't know what I'm doing. All right, button. Where's the button? Where's the... Oh, there it is. Let's go.
Well, here's the thing. These are billion-dollar devices made by Ruby Rose. So you have to presume that they're brand new designs in the last 5 years. So him being able to know how to steer this thing is completely unrealistic. There's no way he would get into this and know how to navigate.
A point of clarification. Unrealistic for a normal human being or unrealistic for Jason Statham? Two very different things there.
Oh my gosh, we're not even like halfway, and you are just really laying it on the kid.
How can you not like Jason Statham? He is the action hero.
I love him. He's great. But I do believe that you have a bit of a problem with reality and separating the man from the character. I feel like that is something you're definitely going to need to work on from here on.
What, you mean the mythic character of Jason Statham?
Okay, all right. Well, he does go down. Now, she's already getting down to the bottom. I believe she goes through the layer.
Magic cloud.
Into the, yes, all the way down there to the bottom. And
I don't think she makes it through the cloud, does she? Does she make it through the cloud?
Yeah, I think she actually sees it. Or maybe not. Huh. I don't
know. Oh, no, she does. She definitely does. She definitely makes it down, yes.
Yeah. So she makes it down, and he has to come down, and he basically saves her first, because this is actually pretty cool. A ginormous, it's a squid or an octopus?
Squid.
I don't know which one.
Squid,
yep. Right? Okay, it wraps completely around her, and you just see these ginormous tentacle things squishing and squishing and squishing and squishing. Like it's like squishing a pimple, like waiting for it to pop. And then he comes and saves the day and saves her life and basically tells her to float herself back up to the surface. Which is pretty cool.
Well, what's awesome about that, though, is that this squid is closing in on her ship. Like, man, she better start writing that letter of hers. But then it releases, and you're like, wait, why did it release? What's going on? And we see all this ink And then at this moment, this is the first time we see it's a Megalodon.
Yes.
And I'm just like, take that, Heller, you buffoon of a scientist. The Megalodon's real and you're a moron. He should be not disbarred. I don't know. Like, whatever. He should be stripped of his doctoral merits.
That's right. He should. So he saves her and then he goes down to save his ex-wife. Now, I think we can argue that if he didn't need to save her, there would have been that extra split second to get Toshi out of the pod and to safety.
Yeah, man. Not a good look for Sue Yang.
No. Yeah. So I think that she's got some guilt that was never really talked about. But she clearly, like, if she hadn't been all rogue about it, then they could have saved Toshi. As it is, he connects to it. He's able to get his ex-wife out. He's able to get the character named The Wall out. But Toshi knows that there's just not enough time, that this Megalodon is coming for them. And if they don't detach and float back up, they're all going to die. So it's like, oh my gosh, it's like full circle. What? So now, but I like that it's not Jason's decision anymore. Toshi takes that decision in his own hands. He puts the letter to his wife in The Wall's pocket, closes it up. That's it. So I thought that was nice. You know, like, he is. He really is the unsung hero of this movie.
I mean, it's just amazing that in such a short amount of time that we see Toshi, we get a sense of who he is, what he's about, and you got to give the movie credit for that, because there's a lot of movies that cannot pull that off in that amount of time.
Yeah, I agree. When they get back up to the surface, Suyun, she starts yelling at Jonas, and I don't like that. She's really on his case about it. And he never really, like, puts her in her place, because, like I said, if she wasn't down there to begin with, they could have saved all of them. So she's giving him all this hard time about it, but he's actually, I think he's pretty nice about it, you know?
I think he realizes that it's just a high-octane situation, emotions running high, and that he shouldn't judge her based on this interaction alone. Because Jason Statham, he's just really even-keeled kind of guy. He knows what's going on.
Oh my gosh.
Will say one nice thing about the doctor. He does apologize to Jonas. I mean, it's not really appropriate for, like, the level of what it should be. But he does apologize, so I'll give the doctor that. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, I guess you're right. I'm sorry about that, that I said you were crazy, that you were an idiot, that you should be stripped of all your diving certificates. My bad.
Yeah. And the next scene really is when we get to is when she kind of comes to her senses and apologizes to Jason. But
a big old bit of comedic relief.
No movie with Jason is complete without seeing him partially naked, at least. So he just gets out of the shower. We see, you know, his 12-pack at this point. She comes barging into his room with him just in a shower, saying how sorry she is. And that's, I guess, the first hint of some sort of sexual tension. I don't know.
Well, I mean, how it happens that you think, well, how can she just walk in with him in a towel? But he's behind the door, kind of like peeping out. And so she just barges in, doesn't see it. She has her back to him, talking to him, saying, oh, I'm sorry, you know, this is what's going on. And he's like, wow, I'm just in a towel. This is great. I'm gonna do the rest of the movie in a towel, I think. I think that's where this is going. And so then she turns around, she realizes what's happened. She's embarrassed. She runs out, but not before peeping in the window for a second look.
Okay. And then they go back to the conference room, which apparently is the only place in this entire area where you can have serious conversations. And they're trying to decide what to do with the Megalodon. And basically, the idea is that Jason wants to find it and kill it. And her response is, no, we should explore non-lethal option first. Now, this is when my 11-year-old chimed in and was like, this is the dumbest idea I've ever heard. Which I would have to agree, because the idea of trying to save a Megalodon who they've just seen is responsible for the death of their friend is, to me, completely absurd.
Look, this is a research post. It's not outfitted to be a capture post. I mean, I'm sure she was going to call in for a big mallet to, you know, hit the shark in the head with and capture it, but this research center is not equipped for that.
Oh, is that what it is? So they, I don't know exactly when they realize that the Megalodon has gotten through, but they do kind of explain how there's a shift in the temperature.
Oh, that reveal about it getting through, man. Like, I can't believe you're going to skip over that or you don't remember that. So Suyin's daughter is playing in the hallways of this abandoned research station. Oh my because gosh. Why not? She has free reign. There are no key cards in this station. Most stations have a key card. Maybe this kid has one. She has free reign. But she's playing. Of course, there's this big spherical window. And she's playing. Great scene. Like, you kind of see the shark in the background. You see it get closer and closer and just chomp on the window. Big old cracks in the glass. The whole station shakes. And everybody's in the conference room, of course, because where else would they be? And like, wait, did you feel that? Let's all run crazy because obviously this little girl is the root of whatever just happened.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. That was even in the previews to this movie, and I forgot about it. Wow. Yes, and of course, she's winning Mother of the Year at this point. I mean, come on. Her daughter's just wandering around this thing completely unsupervised. It's so unsafe.
This is a state-of-the-art facility, completely safe.
Okay, so now they know that it's out and about. And her great idea, this is kind of ridiculous. She says that they can put a person in a shark cage.
Let's back up a little bit, because you're a little ahead of me. So they find the little girl, like, oh, she's okay. And they turn around and look at the window, and Jason's like, someone lines up, wow, those are some big teeth marks. And then Suyin sees the whale that we were introduced by name earlier. He's like, well, that's weird. The whale's all alone. Cue the Megalodon ripping the whale in half. Oh, I guess the Megalodon made it up from the magic underworld through the magic cloud.
Yeah, it's basically like the equivalent of killing a puppy in a movie because they named the whale like Rosie and they're all like, where's Rosie? Where's Rosie? And then all of a sudden the shark just eats
rips
the whale.
It yeah, in that was kind half. Of sad. That and of course, sad. Like, well, it's impossible for the Megalodon to have gotten through the magic cloud. How did it do that? It must be a magic megalodon to get through the magic cloud. But yeah, no, they discovered that when the portal went so fast through the magic cloud, it created a portal where the megalodon, for some reason, was following the submersible and went through the magic cloud and is now free to live a happy, peaceful life in the ocean. I believe
that's
the rest of the movie.
To do. Look, all it wants to do is eat some food. I mean,
hungry.
Are we really going to blame this shark for doing what it was created to do? Swim around and eat?
I mean, don't you think that whale would have filled it up a little bit? Here's the twist. It gets a taste for human flesh, and then it's just insatiable. It has to eat more humans.
That's
the big twist
really
on this.
And
once it got a taste for humans, it's like, I've been missing this for millions of years. Time to get my fill. Let me go to the most populated beach in the world to fix that.
That's
smart
amazing.
Megalodon.
For sure. Well, her great idea is to attach a GPS tracker to a harpoon, have a single person put into a shark cage under the water, shoot the harpoon into a soft part of the megalodon so they can track the megalodon. She actually says, and this is a quote, a single person is no threat. A single person is no threat to the megalodon. If that were true, so many scenes in this movie would be irrelevant. That megalodon clearly cares about a single person. I don't know what in her research made her think that one person was somehow safe against this shark, but that's crazy.
Well, isn't this before the shark got a taste for human flesh?
Okay. All right, you know what? I'm going to let you have that one. I feel like I could go with that one. All right. I also love that this tube is apparently made of the strongest plastic in the entire
universe.
Well,
that's not
universe.
This part. This is not the tracker part.
Oh, that's
this is the
one?
Poison dart part that's the polycarbonate tube.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry that I actually got scenes confused in this epic thriller.
Oh, yeah. This is actually the cage. In this, it's like, oh, yeah. One person's not a threat. Jason, just put on a wetsuit. Just jump in the water with it. You'll be fine.
And swim with it. Yes, you are correct. That's what happens. And that's what he does. Like, why not, right? Let me just take this harpoon. I'm just going to go swim. And I'm going to it's going to be fine.
I'm pretty sure he just psyched himself up by saying, I'm Jason Statham. I can do this, and I'm going to look good doing it.
Right.
Don't you think he probably just said that mentally before all these crazy things? I'm Jason Statham. I can do this.
Well, apparently things go awry. Because apparently, sending a human being out with one harpoon against a megalodon is not actually as effective as they think it's going to be.
No, this part actually works. They made one small miscalculation. I don't know. But Jason, he's able to... Jason Jonas, they're all the same person. he's able to plant the tracker in the thing. But then when they're reeling him in, they start reeling him in, and Sugen goes, oh, wait, crap, no, don't do that. Don't pull him too fast. The vibrations are what's going to attract the shark. I don't know. Maybe we should have ironed that out before we dropped Jonas into the water. So then they stop reeling him in. Too late, the sharks aren't into it. So he's like, wait, no, you have to reel him in. Cut the boat on. Jonas is swimming. I'm not sure why. What difference will it make? And the shark's chasing him. This whole scene is money because he goes out, he sees the shark, water splashed in the face, he doesn't see the shark. We're looking for it, then boom, there it is. Whole scene is money.
I love the look of this shark. Every single scene that the shark was in, I thought it was awesome. I think they did a great job with the effects of this movie. There were some beautiful scenes, I think, and really creepy scenes. Like, I mean, I won't get too far, but like when you're at the beach and you have all those people and the shark is just underneath them, that was insane. I loved it. So I loved everything about this shark. I thought they did a great job. But Jonas gets onto the boat and he's saved. And now it's time for the fancy shark cage.
Yes, they realize now the shark has this taste for human flesh. It must be stopped.
And Ruby Rose has devised the best shark cage in the history of the world because it can simply not break. It can't break. Despite the fact that it's never been tested with a megalodon, this is like the strongest polymer in the entire universe. So kudos to her. I mean, I feel like this invention is wasted on a shark cage, but whatever.
Yeah, Jason Statham's like, piece of plastic, eh? Ruby Rose, you know, she knows shark cages. And it's polycarbonate. She's like, it can't break, it can't crack, it's fully designed for this. And Jason Statham, I don't know what he says, but something like, I still don't trust it.
I absolutely love the scene of what happens next. Suyin is the one that volunteers. One, I love that she volunteers. You can already tell she is so brave, that she is such a good match for him. I love that she gets into that shark tank. And she's like, I've done this hundreds of times. So she's great. So what happens basically is are they trying to kill it at this point? She has like some sort of...
They're giving it enough tranquilizer that it would kill normal beast. But this one, they're just hoping to knock it out. Who knows how much it'll take to put this thing down.
That's right. Well, the shark bumps into the cage and she drops it. And things kind of get completely out of hand because even though it won't break, the shark can still put its jaws around it. And he's grabbing it. And my favorite moment is when he tries to swallow this thing whole. Like, as if it's like one of those giant multivitamins. Like, it's just so huge. And he's just like, I got this. I can't break the plastic. I'm just going to, like, throat this thing down. Just keep shoving it down. And Jonas, being as heroic and badass as he is, knows that this is happening. And what does he do? He freaking dives into the ocean. He just dives in. No protection. He's like, I'm just going to go save her. Dives right in. And Rainn Wilson yells, hell yeah! And I was like, love it. I loved everything about that.
Like, I love the realization because she's out there, the shark's bumping the cage. I'm like, oh, it's cool, it can't break. The shark begins eating this plastic cage. I'm like, oh no, it can't break. Like, I just love it. Like, you almost see the light go off in their head. Like, oh man. And then Jonas is like, oh, guess I've got to go take care of this now.
Yes, and he saves her. Look, he saves her.
Well, not even that, but first she's trapped and about to get eaten by a shark.
Yes.
Then she's losing oxygen. Now, then the cage, the rope's been snapped and it's sinking to the bottom of the ocean. And, like, how are you not entertained by this? You know, like, all these things are going wrong. And Jonas just manages by, like, seconds to spare to save her and pull her out. And then we were very close to an even bigger reveal about this movie.
I love this moment so much. They managed to pull out the megalodon from the water. And they're so excited that they finally caught this ginormous shark. And you have the wall. And he's, like, standing next to it getting a picture. And they kind of spook him. And he falls back into the water, right? But they're all happy and laughing and giddy. And all of a sudden, a megalodon that's twice the size of the one they catch does this beautiful arch over the boat and grabs and onto the megalodon that they've caught and eats it and dives back into the water. I loved it so much. I loved it so much. In the movies, I just started laughing because I was so excited by the second bigger megalodon. It was fantastic.
An ingenious part of this movie. Absolutely ingenious. What's better than one megalodon? Two megalodons.
Two megalodons. And everybody ends up getting into the water. Like, the boat kind of waivers or whatever, and everybody falls into the water. And
well, they fall into the water because the new Megalodon bites the boat in half.
Yes. And so we lose the wall. He ends up getting eaten. And we have Heller in the water, and we have Ruby Rose, her name's Jax in the movie, and her in the water. And everybody else kind of gets back onto a surface. So this is Heller's big redemption scene, right? Because he knows that this shark, they're doomed. But if he sacrifices himself and starts flailing in the water, the shark will come and eat him, and Jax has enough time to swim back to the boat.
And she's more valuable than the doctor.
Yeah, of course. So he does. He sacrifices himself. Although, he's sacrificing himself and flailing in the water, and he's like, swim, Jax, swim. And she doesn't swim. She just, like, treads her water and watches him die. So his sacrifice really kind of was for nothing, because she really didn't take advantage of the head start.
Well, no, I think if she started swimming, she'd be flailing just as much as the doctor. The shark might be like, should I go for one, the other, or both?
Oh, okay.
So I think, obviously, Jax knows her stuff. She built the entire research station, I think, by hand, probably. so I think she knew her stuff. And she's like, I'm just going to chill out. I'm going to let the doctor do his thing. I've got this. I know shark cages. And by extension, I know sharks.
Absolutely. We also learned that Suyin's dad, who we really haven't talked about, but he's a big scientist in all of this. I don't know what exactly happened to him. I know that he dies at this scene.
Yeah, he dies at this point. I think he either fell and hit something, or when he's in the water, something fell and hit him.
Okay.
I don't know, but it's along those lines.
Well, they end up back into these little inflatable motorboats. And they go back to the rig, and by the time they're there, he has died. But they have a nice little touching moment between daughter and father, because she has obviously been trying to live up to his expectation the whole entire time. And he's like, I'm very, very proud of you. I mean, it was very sweet. So as far as like character arcs go, that was very nice.
Yeah, I mean, this movie does well by its characters.
Yeah. We kind of move along, and we finally get to see what happened to the ex-wife. Remember her? Yeah. We haven't seen her since the beginning. But she is playing cards with the kid and just recovering. Very quickly, I would say, recovering.
She might just be on morphine. I mean, that might be taking care of a lot of that.
Some adrenaline rush.
But that little kid? Expert in cards.
Expert. Yeah, she's an expert in everything. She should be running the show, I feel.
I think the only reason she's not is that the research station had a minimum height requirement. She's just too short, being 8 years old. Give her a couple years, she'll be right in the middle of everything. The Meg 2, Suyin's daughter. I can't remember her name. I think it starts with M. But yeah, she'll be in the sequel.
Oh, yeah.
She'll save the day.
I think so. Rainn Wilson makes this speech, and it sounds very sweet and endearing, where he apologizes for everything, for their losses, and he says he's going to alert everybody, like all the authorities, all the nearby countries, and he is going to send help so they can evacuate the rig, and everybody is going to be okay. And then he goes and leaves. And that's what we see about that scene. Do you have anything to say about that before we get to Rainn Wilson?
I like his speech. In essence, he says, look, when one person died, I thought, well, you know, that's bad, not too bad. Now that more people have died, I realize this shark means business. We should probably stop it at this point.
Yeah. Okay, so he gets on his helicopter to fly away. And at this point, the first time I saw it, I was like thinking, oh, you know, this is really nice. Like, that's completed his arc, right? Nope. He gets onto the helicopter and we see that he has a bag of explosives. And his goal is to drop the explosives into the ocean to kill the shark and to leave everybody on the rig basically stranded. Is that what he was going for? Like, they're just going to die on the rig?
I don't know if he cares about other people. I think he just really wanted a big shark tooth.
That's probably true. So they drop all this explosives. They get a kill. Very cool, right?
Yeah, they think they killed the shark.
Killed it. Perfect.
And then Ray's like, why don't you just throw one more bomb down just to be sure? Dude throws a bomb right over what we think is a shark. Gets guts all over him. That was a gross little part. Nasty.
It was gross. It was awesome. But then he goes to Rainn Wilson, kind of goes down to investigate it all, and one of his little cohorts, you know, is there, and he's like, go grab me a shark tooth so I can put it on my desk. You know, grab one for yourself.
He's a generous benefactor, isn't he?
So sweet.
Give me a tooth. Get one for yourself, too, while you're at it.
And the man comes back and he's like, it doesn't have any teeth. And then it's like, oh crap, it's a whale. And he realizes that the Megalodon is right under him. And the Megalodon attacks. And for a second, he's fine. Rainn Wilson survives the attack. And we think it's awesome. And he's like crawling up this carcass of a whale. And then all of a sudden, the Megalodon comes out and grabs him.
That is a gross sequence. Like, I couldn't help but put myself in that sequence and imagine the smell and the feel. And I mean, Rainn Wilson's not a great guy, but that is kind of a rough way to get into. Oh, wait, I forgot how he got in the water. This part is amazing, because when they realize that it's a whale, not the shark, he's like, all right, take it away, boys. They speed off. He flies back out, right out of the back of the boat, into the water, forced to climb onto the whale he just murdered.
That's right. They left him behind. They didn't realize he was in the water. And then the Megalodon comes and eats him, and the only thing left is his hand. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. It was a good death.
His arc, it worked out well.
It worked out great. All right. The big thing coming up next is that the shark is now going toward the beach. Sonya Bay.
Yeah, he checked his Google Maps app, and he realized, ooh, this is where the most people are going to be. I love human flesh. This is perfect for me.
It is a highly populated ocean situation. There are tons of people in the water, including a yacht where people are getting married, and a little dog named Pippin is swimming in the water. I gotta tell you, I was very worried that the dog was gonna die.
As soon as Pippin got in the water, I'm like, yep, that dog is done for.
I know. After Rosie the whale got slaughtered by the Megalodon, I don't think I could have handled it if Pippin the dog had died. I mean, I was very concerned for that poor little dog. I was more concerned for Pippin than I was that chunky kid eating the popsicle.
Well, like, I mean, I think that's by design. But that little dog, I have to give it to the dog actor. Great dog actor. The little dog is like swimming, sees the shark fin, does a little whatever noise dogs make, a little whimper, there it is, and turns around. I mean, his little legs are 2 inches long. And he's thinking, man, that poor dog. You gotta get to the dog actor. It completely sold that performance.
You really have a thing with dog actors. This is like the second time you have praised a dog actor.
Yeah, when dog actors bring it, I give them praise.
Okay. Well, the fun. There's so many fun things about this beach scene, because it is just filled with people, and we kind of are narrowed in onto this one little adorably chubby child who has his popsicle and takes his popsicle out into the ocean with him. So he is floating in his inflatable tube, licking his popsicle, just enjoying life. Like, this kid is living.
He's thinking, this is the best day of my life. Nothing could possibly go wrong with today. This is it. I'm living my best life right here.
And that Megalodon scene where he is swimming underneath all of those people was so freaking cool. I loved it so much. You can just see the proportion of how big that shark was. It was awesome. But you have people who are like swimming and they're in these inflatable bubble things and like walking on the water.
Gerbil
balls.
What
that thing was. And then you have people who are just kind of on... What are those? What were they on?
Platforms.
What are those?
Just floating platforms.
Yes. Just platforms. They yell shark when they see the shark. They yell it in English and Chinese, I guess, is what they do. So we can all know that there is a shark in the water, just in case we weren't sure what this movie was about. And then it's just complete and total mayhem. A large portion of the people get back to land, except our adorable chubby popsicle eater. And this group of people who, for whatever reason, have just stopped swimming and have just collected themselves into, like, just this big circle in the middle of the ocean.
One could say a bite-sized circle.
I know, right? I was like, that seems like a terrible way to react in this situation. Yeah.
In their defense, they always say that sharks can't detect movement, or if you don't move or flail, they won't bother you. Maybe that was their thought. We'll just sit here, be still. You won't notice.
Yeah, I would definitely trust like 70 strangers around me to not flail when a giant prehistoric megalodon is swimming under our feet.
Well, you know, looking through the water, their size can be deceiving. They probably didn't realize it was like the size of Rhode Island.
Probably. Okay, we're coming up on another scene that I literally laughed out loud at the movie theater.
Is it the platforms?
Because now, No, it wasn't the platforms. It was the helicopters.
Oh, wow, yeah. It's almost out of left field. Like, why do we need this? I like it, but why?
The helicopter scene, I love so. So they're on, Jason and everybody, they've left the rig. They're on their boat. They're going to go save the day. And there's helicopters swimming around on top. And I guess, I don't know, they're filming or news crews or whatever. And they're on top of the beach. And we see one. And the anticipation is that the shark is going to jump out of the water and eat the helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I would have bet money on it.
I would have bet money on it. No, I love it. The helicopter ran into another helicopter and exploded. And I just started cracking up. I thought it was so fun. I was like, yeah, way to do something unexpected. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Okay, so the shark is now attacking everybody. And we're kind of toward the final battle scene between Jonas and the shark.
Well, yeah, like this shark at the beach. It's kind of like, you know, the cartoons where you'll see a character go to the end of the buffet table, tip the buffet table up, and just everything falls into his mouth. That's the shark of this beach. It is an all-you-can-eat buffet for this shark. He's loving life. He's thinking, much like that kid with the popsicle, I'm living my best life today.
Yeah,
little does he know.
Survives, and he still eats his popsicle.
It's obviously a good, like, popsicle, doubling. Though.
Yeah. okay, so we get to the point where we're going to kill this shark. Let's just get to it.
Let's do it.
Jonas and Suyin are down there together, heroically fighting this shark.
But their plan, are you going to get into their plan? Like, it's an amazing plan.
Well, their plan is... No, I don't remember what their plan was.
We're going to strap missiles to our little submersibles and just shoot a missile at the shark. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. And that's basically what they attempt to do. It ends up being just Jonas versus the shark. And I think the coolest, probably the saddest thing... is when Jonas uses his ship to slice the bottom of this shark, like, to just gut it all the way down. I don't know about you, but I felt legitimately sad for that shark at that moment. I knew we had to kill the shark, but it's just living its life. Like, it's just really excited to be out from the bottom of the ocean, and then he's gonna die, like, a really painful death. I mean, I felt like it was a little much. That shark really didn't do anything wrong. We expect him to murder people.
And he has murdered people. He already has.
But that's what he does. That's what sharks do.
Yeah,
like,
it's a rough way. I mean, it's a little unsettling just seeing that shark get gutted. It's rough.
Yeah, that made me sad. And then Jonas stabs him in the eye.
It's not just stabs him in the eye.
Like,
I can't remember how he gets ejected from his submersible, but I think he takes his knife, stabs into the shark for a handhold, gets his harpoon in the other hand. The shark jumps out of the water. Jason's holding onto his knife with one hand, gets the harpoon, shoves it in the shark's eye right as they peek and jump out of the water, just jams it up to his elbow. The shark falls down. I mean, it is. As larger than life as you can get in a movie.
It really was amazing. That was an amazing scene. And of course the shark dies. So it was a little sad for me that the shark died, because not only has this shark basically been through hell at this point, but then all the other normal 8-foot long sharks start to feast on it. And I mean, it was just like a frenzy. And I mean, Jason, he's fine. Everybody's fine. They're all going to go live another day. But this poor shark is now a buffet for all the normal sharks out there. And you even see a normal shark float out of the mouth of the megalodon. I don't know. I felt a little bad for the megalodon at that point.
Do you think this movie was inspired by the Ernest Hemingway novel, The Old Man and the Sea?
Do you think that that's where this came
from? And this ending scene, though, definitely reminds you that. Because the old man catches, what, like a dolphin or something? Like some huge fish that no one would ever believe he caught because it's so big. But by the time he gets back to shore, all the sharks have eaten, it's completely destroyed. I feel like Jason Statham kind of wanted to hang this shark on his wall just to show off. Now the sharks have eaten and he won't get to. Nobody ever believed his tall tale. But yeah, when that shark jumped out of the water, I stabbed him in the eye and I would have hung it on my wall, but all the sharks in it, so I don't have any proof now. And in the sequel, I think another doctor's going to diagnose him with water psychosis too. Like, what shark? There's no evidence, Jason. What's up with this? Why are you such a crazy
man? All of them,
man?
Yeah.
Like,
all of them have
psychosis. You were psychosis before, then the shark came and believed you, but now there's no shark evidence, so we just can't believe you without evidence. We're scientists, man.
Well, and that's basically it. That's basically the end of the movie, and then it ends.
The way this ends, though, I love this ending. Jason Statham and the people, they're on the party boat, the wedding party boat, having a good time. The camera starts to drift into the water, and like, we're going into depth, like, oh man, are we going to see another megalodon? Are there three? And we don't, but it just says fin, which is French for finish. I was like, what a great fake out. What a great way. Like, if you ever use a French word in a movie like that, nail it. Fin. So perfect. I mean, there's some smart little bits in this movie.
Sure. I thoroughly enjoyed it. All right, well, we have definitely talked this movie to death. So, okay, anything you want to wrap up with? You want to share where people can find you online?
I just want to share my parting thoughts on this movie. This movie, it does everything a movie should. It entertains me for 2 hours. I don't think there's any downtimes. And because what I want from a movie, I want it to be entertained. And I also want a little bit of smart writing. And that can be a lot of smart writing, but a little bit. And it nails these characters. Like, I know who these characters are. Even the ones that are on screen for 2 minutes, I know who they are. So there's some smart writing. I mean, this is not a film with artistic merit of Jaws. It doesn't push the genre forward like that. But it's fun, and I love it.
I agree. All of those, I agree. All right, guys, if you want to find us, you can find us at Box Office Refund on Twitter and Instagram. And that's about it for us. Anything else?
That's it. Covered.
All right, thanks for listening, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Box Office Refund. Box Office Refund Podcast.